Perfect picture, the space and time splitter, the Augustan calendar plumb line. We all know what common error means. Please.
Watch this. Rhymes and poetry.
You. People have been talking, man. You know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to just do it.
What's up? You are listening to Rhymes and Poetry right here on Active FM, and you are with your girl Nalzi yet for another week on Rhymes and Poetry. Listen, so like I've been doing poetry around the world, right? And like the most interesting thing for me is to actually see how the more we go around the world, the more we discover places where we never even thought that they'd actually like do poetry. And it's exciting also because you learn weird things about poetry in other countries. And this segment is gonna have something that I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot even believe this is true. But you're gonna find out what that is a bit later on in the show. But if you're looking for us because you just don't know where to find us, you can simply find us on our socials, which is at ActiveFM 777, the number of heaven. Otherwise, you can simply go to our website, which is www.activefm.co.za. But in case you guys are wondering what the show is about, like, where are we around the world? Like, what is going on, Nalzi? Can you just tell me at least where we are around the world? We are doing Russian poetry today, and it is going to be super, super awesome. There's an interesting fact about Russian poetry that I did not even know. And that is weird for me because I'm like, how do you even do that? But I'm going to let you guys know a little more about that. But before we get into all of that, I want to take you guys to one of my favorite songs on the Active Worship's new album. It's called Inception, and the song is entitled Take Us Back. So let us go back to the beginning.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Ebenezer. You are tuned to Active FM. Christ music is hot music.
Thank you.
Russian poetry. Firstly, let's just discuss how crazy awesome that song is. It is entitled Take Us Back, and it's on Active Worship's latest album, which is called Inception. I got my album, and I need to tell you guys that that album is awesome. It really, really is. And the testimony and the breakthrough that comes when you listen to worship music, it's on another level. And that's why I always say, you need to listen to worship music, you need to listen to Christian music, because Christ music is the hottest music on the land. And because we are Active FM, we bring you the hottest music on the land. You don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to go far. Listen, just listen to Active FM, Shazam the music, or find out what the title is and go on Apple Music, Deezer. You can get it anywhere where you can find good music. So I was reading up on a lady called Janet Finch, and she wrote about the 8 poets that taught her how to write not Russian poetry, but they taught her how to write a novel about Russia. Can you imagine? Many people think that poetry is just poetry and it just stays there, but it literally branches out into all types of literature. It branches out into music, and it has so many purposes other than just being a thing of entertainment. It actually helps people in their literature. And basically the first poet she read was Anna Akhmatova, and she says, "The great Anna reigns supreme, the dark lady of Russian literature. I'll always associate Anna with Valentina and her pearls, the elegance, the gravity, the absolute authority, so much said with such little words. Young Russian girls worshipped her, and I still do." In the poem Muse, a figure approaches a young Anna out of the night. And then this is basically a line from Anna's poem, and it says, "You gave Dante the pages of the Inferno. The poets ask, and she answers, yes." And basically, that is Anna. And the next poet was Marina. And basically, from Marina, she admires all these poets. It's not like she's just reading their poetry because it's entertaining. She admires them and she learns from their writing technique. She learns from their skills. She learns from how they use the personification, how they use similes and metaphors. And she admires the style of writing that these poets have. And she says, although I admired the precise Akhmatova, I felt an immediate affinity and passionate with Marina. A fiery, biting, defiant, and she was as sure of herself as Anna was, though as opposite by temperament as she could be. It's by accident I named my character Marina, a magician with a language. Personally turbulent, Marina dashes and exclamation marks give speed and urgency to her work. So basically, she used Marina's name as one of the fictional characters in her novel, and she basically wrote this story about a young magician who faces a whole lot of troubles. And we see that her inspiration draws much further than the person writing the poetry. It goes into their personality, it goes into what they stand for, and so much more. And then the next one was Osip Mandelstam. And this is a guy. So the first two were women poets, and this is a guy. And she says, the most sophisticated on the page. Mandelstam was a part of the of Anna's side of the spectrum, part of the Akhmatist school, precision, and always the tie to the world. This guy wrote poetry, and his poetry was revolutionary when you look at Russian poetry. And his poem in 1918, these poets are not recent poets that lived now. These are poets that wrote quite a while back. And his poem in 1918 about the revolution, and basically he wrote this in one of his poems. Brothers, let us celebrate liberty twilight, the great and gloomy year, when the very swallows have been pressed into the battle legions. The end slays me. We still recall in this cold that earth costs a dozen heavens. The next poet is Vladimir Mayakovsky, and obviously the name Vladimir is very like popular in the world because you think of Vladimir Putin, who is the president of Russia. But if you actually look in Russian history, it's actually a very common name to give a child. It's not like a name that you give, or like, it's not like one of those rare unique names like my name. Can I please tell you that everywhere I go, not many people have the same name as me. Like, literally, in the church, I'm in the active church in South Africa, based in Saudi. I'm literally the only Nolene in the church. And it's been many places I go to. Actually, I went to Northcliffe High School when I was in my schooling years, and I was the only Nolene in Northcliffe High School. Like, there was no other. But, like, that's, like, you know, such a unique name. But Vladimir is not one of those names. There are many Vladimirs in Russia. Vladimir, the futurist, was the one who said he entered the revolution as a man and entering his own house. A mass of contradictions, this great swaggering man, a giant, yet tender, even the extent of his love, desperately in love with a married woman and tormented with being the short end of a triangle. He was both the voice of the revolution, shouting, putting his feet on the table, but also a cloud in trousers. So basically, this guy, like, was in love with a married woman. First of all, like, if she's married, bro, just leave her alone. Like, I don't even need to start giving love advice here. Because, you know, like, once someone has, like, sealed their covenant as a married person, that person is committed. Now you're in love with someone that is tied, not only in the physical, but their souls are tied together. They are married. They have become one. So not only are you saying you love the woman, bro, you love her husband as well because they've become one. So how can you love the one half without the other half? That's just me. But if you guys really want good love advice, you should listen to The Love Show. I'm just saying, this guy was in love with a married woman, and this would be the cry out in many of his poems. It's either he was speaking about the revolution, or he'd be speaking about the love that he had. And this is one of the things that he said. You would not recognize me now. A bulging bulk of sinews, groaning and withering. What can such a clod desire? Though the clod, many things. Though political at odds, and he had in common with many other poets, and he appreciated a poet named Chativa. And this is basically the next one, Velimir, not Vladimir, Velimir. And he's basically another one of the poets that inspired her. I mean, when you look at the books with these people that they wrote, so the poetry they wrote, you can actually see that these people lived a long time ago. And this is basically what she says. You've got to have an avant-garde to understand Russia. I think that Velimir and Vladimir basically have the same sort of poetry. His sound fell under attack by the Soviet minders' culture. And basically this guy defended his, Vladimir defended Velimir's work, saying that there were poets for the consumer and poets for the producer, and the living literature needed both. So basically he thought that Velimir was a poet for the producer rather than for the consumer. And I don't understand how that is possible, because then when you're taking in poetry, you're basically the consumer, whether you're a producer or not. And many people in the Soviet Union were complaining because they didn't understand this guy's poetry. So now when we look at it, Vladimir actually came into, not Vladimir Putin, guys, talking about the poet that we just spoke about. He came into the defense of this guy, and he basically said that even though that the consumers don't understand his type of poetry, it doesn't mean that he's not a good poet. He's just writing poetry for a different market, for a different niche. And this is basically an extract from one of the poems he wrote. Only we have fixed our foreheads, the wild laurels of the ruler of the terrestrial globe. We fire the moist of clays of mankind into jugs and pitchers of time. And then the next poet is Joseph Brodsky. And if you notice, a lot of these Russians' names end with a ski. Like, I'm not even joking. Okay, like, I just need to find. So there's Mayakovsky. There's dun-dun-dun! Amektova, but okay, that's not ski, but many Russian names end with the ski, which I find very interesting. I wonder why, but like, you know. Anyway, so this guy was her dead guy crush, and she says, my poetic Jim Morrison. Dry, witty, with the big undertow of sorrow. What a portrait of Russia. In the early 60s, he'd been imprisoned in a mental institution and served a sentence for parasitism in the far, far end of Russia, the north end of Russia. A trial judge asked, who has recognized you as a poet? Who has enrolled you in the ranks of poets? No one, Brodsky replied. Who enrolled me in the ranks of the human race? He was Amektova's heir and prodigy. To hear him recite his own work is to hear the sound of the Silver Age, the coolness of Amektova, which was Anna, the poet we described, discussed earlier on, the bite and the world culture of Mandelstam. And basically, these poets would all write poetry around Russia, and they'd write their thoughts on Russia. And from this, that's where she got the idea of writing a book about Russia. When we look at many of the poems, they're either affiliated or influenced by Anna, which was the first poet she spoke about. And many of the threads she speaks through when she's speaking about all these poets, or when she's speaking about the work, she basically brings Anna in to all of this work. Because when she looks at Anna, she looks at Anna as a revolutionary writer who started this whole train of poets in the direction of writing about Russia. Now, what's interesting to me when I'm reading about these poets is that many of them actually wrote poetry about Russia. And as we read when we're going over the other poems from different countries, they would write different poems about different things. I mean, yes, it's called Colombian poetry, it's called Egyptian poetry, it's called this and that and the next thing, but I didn't find many poems that actually spoke about the place where they came from. Now, what's interesting about Russia is that many of their poems speak about Russia, and many of their poets are dedicated to speaking about Russia, writing poems that tell the world about Russia. When I look at this, I think of it from a standpoint of the fact that when we look at the world, the world has always been at odds with Russia. I mean, let's be quite honest. When you think of Russia, you think of scary people. Just the accent alone, you already want to run away. And that's something that has been instilled in us, because obviously Russia has been at war with America. We know from way back. We know that they've always been competing. It's always been a big thing, the Russians versus the Americans. And for the longest time, Russia was portrayed as this country that just wanted to, like, literally flatten the whole earth and just fill the earth with Russians. So when we look at Russia, we look at it from that standpoint. We look at the Russian accent as the bad guys. Like, every time you watch a film, the bad guys are usually Russian. Every time I watch a soapy, when they're bringing in bad guys, they're bringing Russian guys. And just by the accent, you're like, oh my goodness, these are bad people. But these poets have strived to showing people a different side of Russia. I mean, it's not only about the fact that they are scary, because they have been made known to us as scary. I mean, French people and the language has been portrayed to us as the language of love. When you hear French, you're like, oh my goodness. But then when you hear Russian, you have fear in your heart. Now, I wonder if back then in the days, they introduced German as the love language and French as the language of people that were scary. Would it be weird now for us to hear the Russian accent and think, oh my goodness, that is such a love language? Or would it actually be normal? And I always think about stuff like that, but that's besides what we're speaking about. I'm going to briefly go through the next few poets. The next one is Bella, and she basically wrote poetry along the same lines. And she wrote a poem entitled Fairy Tale About the Rain. And this is one of the poems that inspired her in her book. The next one is Sergei Vosnetsky, and basically he wrote a poem and he was part of the great class of the 1960s, the poets of the 1960s. When you look at the picture, he has a typewriter in the picture. Who in their lives do not want to own a typewriter? I love typewriters. I love this era of poetry. I love this era of writing and the means that they would get their poems out there. I like how the books look, because I don't know if you know, back then, the books actually looked like... Okay, so basically they typewrite everything, and then obviously they take it to the people, and the people would bind those books in whatever way they could. So I remember when I went to one of the libraries in Wits, because I'm in the University of Wits, and basically in the 1913s, 1911s, I was reading a lot of books, and I was looking at a lot of books from those times, and the way they used to bind their books was with rope. I know, right? They literally used to tie that stuff together, man. And I found it so interesting to see how we've evolved from a time where paper was the medium of publish. And now we've moved into a time where the medium of publish is the internet. And that sort of like breaks my heart, because in my heart I'm like, but we like typewriters and we like the quill and we like ink. But many people are like, no, we need to move forward into the age of typing and into the age of technology, because that is where we're going. But that's basically the 8 poets that inspired her to write her book. And from these 8 poets, she just drew the inspiration, because they would speak so well about Russia. They would speak highly of Russia. They would take the Russian culture and translate it to the rest of the world. That's so the rest of the world would know more about Russia than just, oh my goodness, those are the scary people. And that was her influence in writing this book. But I did tell you that there was something very interesting about Russian poetry that I found very interesting. And I was like, but how did they do this? And we are going to find that out after this.
Oblivion, can you tell me where I am going? I don't know how to go back where I got started. I'm running on this white thin ice. I'm running on this white thin ice. I've been searching all my life. I've been searching for you now. Oh, where'd you go? I was blind and walking in this life, but you came to give me your life.
Rapid Trade is passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business.
From mobile sales
and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call Rapid Trade at 011-493-9755. Rapid Trade, ahead of the game.
So, I did speak about the thing that I found very interesting about Russian poetry. So guys, did you know that there are 5 poems that every Russian knows by heart? These 5 poems, if you're Russian and you don't know it, it's like, what? Are you for real? Are you serious? Every single Russian knows these 5 poems. And I found that very interesting because me, I thought like it would be like short poems. You know what I mean? Like, Rosa Red, but it's please sugar seed, so you ha ha ha. But it is not. These are lengthy poems, and every Russian knows all of these 5 poems by heart. What intrigued me with this is that Russia has taken poetry and made it a part of its culture. It's a part of your culture to know these 5 poems. And it is successful in that way because then now when parents have kids, they teach their kids these poems. When kids go to school, they learn these poems and they know these poems off by heart. And the first one is by Ivan Krylov, and it's called The Dragonfly and the Ant. Now, you wouldn't expect every single Russian to know this by heart, but they do, and this is how it goes. In the summer's gaily singing, of the future isn't thinking, but the winter's nearby. Field was green, it's now reddish. Happy days already vanished, and it happened no more. That the leaf gives roof and store, all has gone in cold winters. Want and hunger wait afore, dragonfly sings no more. Who would like to sing yet more if the hungry belly hinders? She is crawling in dismay to the ant not far away. Dear crony, don't leave me. I'll be strong, you may believe me. But to manage winter storms, give me food, a bit of warmth. Oh my dear, it's very clear. Did you work in summer here? So ant, his answer forms, but in the summer I was busy. In the pleasant grass, we had many plays and songs ahead. Very often I was dizzy. Ah, you mean, I made a hit. All the summer I was singing, you were singing, well done dealing, now dance a little bit. And that is the poem. I think that is very cute. I think this is something you would learn in kindergarten. I love the fact that it gives the it personifies the dragonfly and it personifies the ant, in giving them the ability to speak. If you don't know what personification is, it's basically giving non-human objects, animals, or whatever, human qualities and human characters. And I love the fact that he used that. I love the conversation between the dragonfly and the ant. And it's just lighthearted. It's fun. It's something that you would learn in preschool, as I said. Just to tell you that all of these poems have been translated into English. So all of the Russians know these poetry in their language. And then the next one is by Alexander Pushkin. And this one is entitled, I Still Recall the Wondrous Moment. And what's interesting about these poems is that they're not short though, guys. Like to learn all of these 5 poems by heart is like, for me it's like a lot. But then for them, obviously it's like something that is of pride and something that they take to heart and actually find value and pleasure in reciting. So the next one goes, I still recall the wondrous moment when you appeared before my sight, as though a brief and fleeting omen, pure phantom in enchanting light. In sorrow, when I felt unwell, caught in bustle in a daze, I fell under your voice's spell and dreamt the features of your face. Years passed and gales had dispelled my former hopes, and in those days, I lost your voice, sacred spell, the holy features of your face. Detained in darkness, isolation, my days began to drag in strife. Without faith and inspiration, without tears and love and life, my soul attained its awakening moment. You reappeared before my sight, as though a brief and fleeting omen, pure phantom in enchanting light. And now my heart, with fascination, beats rapidly and finds revived devout faith and inspiration and tender tears and love and life. I love this poem. Firstly, what I love about this poem is the fact that in four stanzas, he ends them with the same line. It's effective because it sort of drives your poem, the message of your poem home. I remember there was a point in time that every poem I wrote ended with the same line, or like alternating lines that were the same. And it really is beautiful to read a poem like this. It just, to me, speaks of a relationship with the deity. And in my case, when I think about this, I think about this as it's speaking of your relationship with God. And it is such a beautiful poem. And I understand and I see now why these the Russians actually learn these poems off by heart. They're beautiful poems. And I love the fact that in Russian poetry, there's a lighthearted spirit behind the poetry, and it's actually something very refreshing to read. And the next poet is Mikhail Lemonov, and he wrote The Sail. And basically, this is how the sail goes. Amid the blue haze of the ocean, a sail is passing, white and frail. What do you seek in a far country? What have you left at home, lone sail? The billows play, the breeze whistles, and rhythmically creaks the mast. Alas, you seek no happy future, nor do you flee a happy past. Below the mirrored azure brightens, above the golden rays increase. But you, wild rover, pray for tempests, as if in tempests there was peace. And that is, I love that. I love that. It speaks about, obviously, a lone sail sailing off in this ocean. And it speaks about the breeze and how it whistles. I love the fact that it personifies it in that matter, because you can actually hear it as you're reading the poem. And I love the fact that it says that it's not running away from a sad it's not seeking a happy future, nor is it fleeing a happy past. It is just sailing off in this big ocean and with no direction, basically, is what the poem is trying to say. And isn't that funny how many people are like that? They just like a lone boat sailing off in this very big ocean, no direction, and they just going with the flow of things. And it says that it's praying for tempests, as if in tempests there's peace. And many times we find ourselves putting ourselves in situations that can harm us. We find ourselves putting ourselves in praying for things that can destroy us, wanting things that are not good for us. And that is exactly what this speaks of. And I love the fact of the imagery in this poem. I love the fact that he's saying a lot, but not saying much at all. And also, I love the fact that it is short, at least when they're memorizing the other long poems. This is one of the shorter poems. But I love the imagery that is brought about in this poem. It's very beautiful. And then the next one is by Alexandra Block, and it's called Night Street Lamp Drugstore. And now, this is how it goes. Night Street Lamp Drugstore, a dull, meaningless night. Go on and live another quarter century. Nothing will ever change. There's no out. You'll die, then start from the beginning. It will repeat just like before. Night icy ripples on a canal. Drugstore, street, lamp. And that's basically a short poem. It's very nice because it actually speaks about the fact that, I think, from my interpretation of the poem, it speaks about the fact that it's basically a cycle of life where people keep doing the same thing. And whether you live for another quarter of a century, which is 25 years, you'll find yourself in the same patterns, repeating the same things over and over again, because there's no learning from the mistake. Now, the last one is by Sergi Yesenin, and it is called The Bird. Under my window, tucked in the snow, white birch retired, clad in silver glow. On the fluffy branches, snowy trim with silver tinge, melted around catkins, forming white fringe. Like golden fires, snowflakes blazed, while birch stood still, asleep or amazed. Meanwhile, lazily strolling around, dawn threw more silver on the twigs and ground. And that basically speaks of a tree that grows. And obviously there they have snow. I wish we also had snow. But then people that have snow are like, no, you don't wish you had snow, because it's actually like very cold. But I wish we had snow because it's so beautiful. And it turns these trees into these beautiful, huge, white trees. And that's basically the poem that he's, what his poem is all about. And I love the fact that these are the five poems that all of them are learning off our heart, because they are beautiful poems. It just creates pictures and vivid imagery in your mind. You can hear it, you can taste it, you can feel it. It just invokes all senses, and that's what I like about Russian poetry. It's the sense of excellence that they have in their poem, and how it has a light-hearted spirit. It's not dark, it's not heavy, it's not something that makes you thinking for hours. It's light-hearted and it's beautiful. And those are the five poems that all Russians know by heart. So next time you meet a Russian, or next time you have a Russian friend over, or you're speaking to a Russian person, ask them if they know about these poems, because it is said that all Russians know these poems. With all of that said, I'll see you after this.
Yo, how's everybody doing? My name is C. Living the Second, and you're listening to Active FM.
So it has been so fascinating and interesting learning about Russian poetry. It's very interesting to see how they've sort of like formed it in their culture, and they've embedded in every Russian that they know this poetry, and it's super, super, super incredible and super awesome. And I enjoyed talking about Russian poetry, and I think it's very important that we don't only look at them as these scary humans, but we also look at them as people who have culture, people who are actually living and active like we are. And the lightheartedness of the poetry shows you that these are not hard people. These are not people who are all scary and who will kill you or break you or whatever we think that will happen with Russians. But if you're looking for us and you don't know where to find us, you can simply find us on our website, which is www.activefm.co.za. Otherwise, go on our socials. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at ActiveFM 777, the number of heaven. If you're looking for rhymes and poetry, you can simply find me on Instagram at Rhymes and Poetry 777, the number of heaven. But for another week of Rhymes and Poetry, this is Nalzi Lee signing out. Peace out and God bless ya.
Christ music is hot music.
Christ music is hot music.
years I'm on a team. Working in progress, I'm jumping in. Your Holy Spirit is guiding me. Purpose was driven to infinity. Heaven is our destination, Jesus is the only one. Heaven is our destination, Jesus is the only one.